Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, October 16, 2023. This morning I will talk about walking in the Spirit. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy Father, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you have established and sustained your eschatological community with your Holy Spirit, who walks with us and grants us spiritual gifts. Be ever near. Forgive us when we wander off the spiritual path you lay before us and focus on other things. Be ever near. Thank you for the many gifts of the Spirit and your grace when we wander. Be ever near. In the power of your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself, open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, strengthen our hands in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Galatians 5:16 we read, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The Holy Spirit is not an abstract concept for the Apostle Paul that merely guides interpretation of Scripture. Paul sees at least two additional roles for the Holy Spirit: spiritual companionship and provisioner of spiritual gifts. Thompson writes, "Paul did not speak of ethics, but of how to walk, the primary term for ethical conduct." Continuing Galatians 5, cited above, we read, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, drunkenness, orgies, and other things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." This is Galatians 5:18-23. If our walk in the Lord is a metaphor for ethical living, the Holy Spirit is our walking companion, and it is the Holy Spirit that distinguishes our walking ethics from law. Note that the fruits of the Spirit appear strongly influenced by the self-described attributes of God: mercy, grace, patience, love, and faithfulness. These are found in Exodus 34:6. Interestingly, it is walking ethics, not the work of Christ or the strength of our faith, that Paul says distinguishes the church from law. Elsewhere, Paul writes, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me." If our conduct falls short, in Christ we are forgiven, but it is not forgiveness in the absence of being led by the Spirit. In this sense, stumbling is part of walking. Everywhere in the ancient world, Christian communities were in the minority, where their ethical conduct set them apart from the culture around them. Paul writes, this is Romans 12:1-2, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The controlling concept throughout Paul's teaching is that the church is the holy community set apart, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, in continuity with historical Israel, not by blood, but by faith. In this context, worship is a holy life, not music played on Sunday morning. If the church is an eschatological community established by the Holy Spirit, Paul sees the church also sustained by the Holy Spirit through the provision of spiritual gifts. He writes, this is 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Paul follows up with a lengthy list of spiritual gifts, but the list is necessarily incomplete because to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. These gifts are unique to each believer, but share the characteristics of being for the common good. Paul likens these gifts to parts of the human body, none of which are extraneous or more valuable than another. Paul writes, and this is 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one Spirit." Note the reference to the Holy Spirit given in baptism. Paul's ecclesiology and ethics are thoroughly Spirit-driven. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.